This is CCFM 107.5.
You guys have heard, especially as of the 1st of July, we've heard about the Poppy Act and compliance issues and opting in and opting out and what does it mean? Lots of emails to and fro from a lot of companies as well. And some of us don't know what to make out of it, head or tail or whatever it is. But I've got a lady on the line that's going to put us in the picture and make things clear for us. I'm talking about Michelle Kutsia as well, and very much qualified to speak to us about all of these things. She also specializes in legal compliance related to work, which includes the Poppy Act as well as FICA compliance, and she consults for Bax Kaplan Russell Attorneys. But it's my pleasure to introduce you to her. Let me quickly say hello to this lady. Melanie, welcome to LTC.
Hi, Marco. Good afternoon.
It's good to have you on board. And I think I came across a post where you explained so nicely as well about the Poppy Act and I think the internet has gone poppy crazy or poppy mad. And just by means of introduction, maybe I'm not doing it justice. Maybe you can just give people a little bit of a background of who you are, and then we'll get into this Poppy Act.
Thank you, Marco, and yeah, thank you for hosting me. I'm an experienced attorney with 20 years experience, and yeah, eventually into the legal compliance sphere about a year and a half ago, and there's obviously so much going on in respect of compliance all over the country, amongst which obviously Poppy and the Papia Act. So that's pretty much my core business, and I work and reside in Cape Town, and I've been extremely busy with all sorts of companies and their Poppy compliance, from dentists right through to hospitals, to travel agencies, to rental agencies and law firms. So I think businesses are definitely taking this seriously.
Yeah, and before we get to those in terms of compliance, and I think a lot of people are being caught out, which they shouldn't be, because this thing has been around for a while. It's just coming really into effect now. But before we get into those nitty-gritty and those details, maybe you want to tell people what the Poppy Act is about. What is it?
So, Poppy, so we either call it Poppy Act or Papia, which is an even shortened version of a Poppy Act, is an acronym for the Protection of Personal Information Act 4 of 2013. And there are some regulations which come together with, or that you read together with the Act. And that Act, as you said before, has been around since 2013, but it's only just become effective on the 1st of July. All companies and institutions had from June last year, when it was promulgated, to end of June this year to get themselves geared up. And in a nutshell, the long and the short of Poppy or Papia is that it contains the core principles in respect of people's data processing and sharing of that data. There's never really been proper legislation in South Africa related to, you know, the lawful processing of data and the lawful sharing of data. So we find the answers to what is lawful and what isn't lawful or unlawful from the Poppy Act and regulations now.
And I see a lot of people sending out emails now as well, and a lot of what we get, even when we receive those emails, people are telling you about Poppy and opting in or out and those type of things. And also, it affects the normal man in the street as well. We get maybe a little bit on that in regards to social media. But for us lay people that maybe don't understand in terms of the opting in or out process, how does it affect us?
Well, it's a very good question, because as you've said, we've all seen all these emails floating around. We've seen some messages on WhatsApp regarding groups and contact groups that we might be part of. We've even seen some references to opting in and opting out on the social media pages. So, to break it down into layman's terms, consumers have the right to decide whether they wish to receive marketing offerings via electronic means, such as emails, SMSs, WhatsApps, or via social media pages. So because we've always had that right, but we've never really been in a position to exercise that right, if we as consumers decide to request that our contact details be removed from an email list, for instance, there must be an option made available to us to opt out of that mailing list. So that is what an opt-out option means. And it relates more to the marketing emails and marketing WhatsApps and SMSs that you get, so direct marketing and canvassing. New customers, as of from the 1st of July onwards, obviously are all subject to Poppy and all have the right to decide whether when they engage with you as a business or an institution, whether they want to receive future marketing emails, mm-hmm. WhatsApps or SMSs. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, they will then effectively have an option to opt in to such service. So opting out is an option available to all databases as the marketing proceeds. And opting in is when you onboard a new member or a new customer or a client from the 1st of July onwards. So effectively, it's the same thing. It's just that obviously you've got an existing database as a company or an institution, which you created and you built up until the 1st of July.
Yeah.
And for that customer base or that membership base, you will then continue to send the emails, but you must allow for the option to opt out.
Yeah.
And then the new customers and members must opt in before you are allowed to send those messages or marketing and canvassing emails.
So in effect, it's also putting some power in the hands of the individuals as well. But if we go back to what you're saying is that you've already opted in for a lot of the things in terms of marketing material when they've asked you those questions, or sometimes when we get to end of filling in forms, we tick those boxes and we forget about it. And we've then given permission for people to then contact us. But now what you are saying is we have the option now, not that we didn't have the option, but now strongly in our favor to say, listen, I don't want this anymore. Take me off your database. Do not contact me. And I think that helps with a lot of these spam calls and messages that you do get that you can have that particular option. But also let's talk about social media. And I've seen in certain WhatsApp groups as well where people now would send you messages about you got to give permission and all of this. But let's talk about that permission. Let's talk about when I have entered freely into conversations on groups, whether it's Facebook or WhatsApp. I've, as myself have said, I'm in this thing, and now all of a sudden you're wondering, but now what are my rights and what do I do? You could just clear that up. I think this is probably a very easy explanation in regards to that.
Yes, look, social media by nature is obviously an opt-in platform, because you and I would look at certain business pages or entertainment pages, and it's up to us as the individual to either like and follow a particular page. So it's by nature, it's an opt-in. So when I click follow a page, then it means that I've opted in. I want to see what, you know, what happens on that page. And equally, I have the right to opt out at any point in time from that page by removing my follow. So with social media, and you know, it is not 100% correct and necessary for groups with big memberships to send out and posted, you know, the message to the members where they have to click yes or type in yes in the comments box, because by nature, that person, if offended or if, you know, if annoyed or not really interested in following that page, could just unfollow that page. What is important with social media is that information on the pages, like photographs and email addresses and perhaps that type of personal information that is available to the group at large, that type of information obviously needs to be addressed by the group's management. There's always a group manager. And there needs to be very clear terms and conditions posted on the landing page of that social media group.
Yes, yes.
regarding the confidentiality of email addresses and contacting people, you know, directly. So each group needs to decide exactly what their terms are. Some groups, you know, don't allow email addresses to be visible. So it really, you know, that's how Poppy will protect the members within a group. And if a member's not happy to remain in the group,
yeah,
then, of course, they can remove themselves.
They have a choice. They have a choice. And it's quite easier, yeah, in regards to your social media where you have, yeah, control over that. It's not as if you've got to contact somebody who said, take me off. You can do that yourself. I want to ask, though, in the space that I am in the broadcasting space, where, yeah, personal information flows to and fro, what happens when somebody, if they give their names, if they give their personal information, how does that work? Because sometimes people want to be anonymous and we have to treat that very seriously. But in terms of, yeah, of willingly sharing your information, yeah, how does that work?
Look, in terms of all organizations, including yours, the broadcasting organization or institution, and all other institutions, not only just companies, but also institutions like churches and, you know, sports clubs and managing agents in complexes,
mm-hmm,
all institutions and businesses who deal with the collection of information from their members or from their clients and then share that information on, now requires a set of rules so that anyone who willingly supplies contact particulars are able to check what gets done or what happens with that contact particulars, with that email address, with that telephone number.
Yeah.
So the first thing that everybody needs to do in that sphere, institutions, companies, and associations, they must set out rules, and we call those rules policy rules.
Yeah.
To be a policy drafted and implemented, setting out to any of the data subjects of that institution who willingly gives the telephone number or the name or contact particulars, what will be done with that. So it's important that institutions and companies don't just accept you know, that the opt-in and opt-out or the consent form as the only compliance required in terms of POPI. The first step always is to put together a set of rules which will apply to that institution or that organization. And from there, you would then develop a little consent that the particular person either needs to sign or send a message or an email to confirm that you can add their contact particulars to your database and what you will do with it, how long you will keep it for, and when you will remove it. So, you know, it's interesting when people willingly supply their information, but they might be ignorant in respect of what they are supplying,
yeah,
why are they supplying that information, and what will be done with that, yeah, information. And it's not the consumer or the member or the individual, you know, the public's responsibility to find that out. It's now the institution and the organization's responsibility to expressly,
okay,
explain to the members and the clients and the customers why, what, and, you know, how it will be shared. So the onus to you know, to clarify the way in which it's processed, what gets done with the telephone number, and how long it will be kept, it's not a mystery any longer. There's,
yep,
an obligation in terms of papia for these institutions to put together written rules so that anybody who interacts with that institutional organization can quite clearly see, this is what happens, this is why you're collecting it, this is what you're going to do with it.
Sure, that makes such a lot of sense. And there's always the other side to this whole thing in terms of not complying. What are some of, yeah, the consequences when you do not comply, especially when you speak about who's responsible to disseminate the information and make sure that people's personal info is protected? What then would be consequential to not complying?
Look, there are various risks involved with organizations and companies not complying, various, and various levels of risk. Sorry, the biggest risk, obviously, is, in my opinion, is financial risk. No company in today's day and age can afford an unnecessary penalty, or alternatively, a data breach which might lead to a customer or a client or a member's damages. You know, a good example of this is currently happening in America. There's this massive data breach that has happened on a huge scale. And the hackers who's holding this database at ransom is insisting on ransom to the value of $70 million worth of Bitcoin being paid for this database to be released. So your risk for companies, organizations lie in your cyber exposure, internet usage, email interceptions, hackers changing banking details. All of that relates back to, you know, your POPIA requirements. It's your duty as an organization to ensure the safety of the information.
Yeah.
So the cyber risk, in my opinion, is the biggest risk, acute risk that exists for organizations and businesses, because it's costly and people lose money if emails are hacked and intercepted and banking details are changed. And if you can't prove that you've got rules in place regarding emails and you've trained your staff and employees what to look out for, what a malware, what does a phishing email look like? What does a virus-carrying email look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are still clicking on these things.
Yeah.
And you know, so there's a lot of examples in South Africa as well where we've had some ransom attacks and some interceptions. So the risk in as far as cyber attacks is a big risk for non-compliance in POPIA. If you comply with POPIA, you've got good IT rules in place, you've trained your employees, you all understand what gets done with the details and the information, the risk is mitigated. Okay, that's the first risk. The second risk is, of course, if you continuously utilize your members' or customers' contact particulars irresponsibly and disrespectfully after you've been requested to remove a number, you still phone, you still email, you don't actually take it seriously.
Yeah.
A complaint can be lodged at the information regulator's offices. There is a statutory process that is followed. There will be an investigation then done by the information regulator in as far as your policy rules are concerned and who didn't follow the policy rules and why it's not being checked by the information officer within the institution. And there could be some serious penalties levied if it's found that you simply just choose to deal with your client base ignorantly. And that's danger. A lot of institutions and companies and organizations are saying, well, it doesn't really apply to me. We're a small business. We're a small organization. We're not going to pay the fee to get someone to do all the policies and the agreements and the consent. And that is the wrong approach, because in the long run, people on the street, you know as well as I do, people know about POPI. They know they've got rights.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start lodging those complaints.
Yeah.
So it's better just to start working on something, at least, so that you get an understanding of it. So getting the rules together within the organization is the first step. Then thereafter, all the, you know, the operational POPI documents and consents flow from there. So it's not a big project, but it's something that everybody needs to look at, especially from the IT side as well. Because
yeah.
we all see information and clients' information, our own information, our company's information on email, and that's dangerous.
Sure, this is such a much broader conversation, Melanie, and I'm hopefully I want to get you back online, and I can see such a lot of other moving parts in here. And while you were talking about even social media groups, and I'm thinking that some of these groups have become quite big in number, and maybe we do not know how to properly protect ourselves in that regards as maybe those who have groups. I want to maybe talk into that the next time, and just maybe making it even a lot more clearer to the listeners and to the people. But for me, this was so interesting in terms of where we're at. And sometimes when we have new things or supposedly new things coming up, and people may just panic and say, oh, am I compliant or not? How does this affect me? I think this has put us squarely into the picture as a great start to a bigger conversation. And I know your time is so precious, but I want to thank you for giving it to us today, and looking forward to subsequent conversations.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you very much for having me.
Is there any way that you would want people to contact you? I don't know if it's compliant. I'm just asking. Maybe I'll keep your details if they want to contact you. I'll let them know.
Yeah, if they want to contact you keep my details. I give you permission to share my email address and my telephone number with people who make inquiries regarding POPI. No problem.
Okay, there we go. So I'm just making sure I'm compliant this side. Melanie, such a pleasure. We'll chat again sometime or other.
Thanks, Marco.
Okay, thank you. Till next time. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Changing lives for good. CCFM 107.5.